Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode of the Scobro Show. This is the Steel Curtain Network's Dave Schofield coming at you Tuesday night, just after 9 o'clock, almost on time. Where else would you rather be as a Steelers fan? And with me, as always, except when he's not, is my big brother, Rich. Rich, how's it going tonight?
What's up?
What is that now? How many year reference is that now?
I don't know, but what's hilarious.
20-some-year reference.
Last night, Alexandra and I were watching the Ant-Man and Wasp.
Uh-huh.
And there's the one scene in there where he pulls up, where the one con, the guy that plays all these movies, pulls up and he's like, bazaar! And he was like, they were looking at him. He was like the commercial, the beloved commercial. It's like,
from forever ago. They did the same kind of thing in How I Met Your Mother. But Rich, it's nice to be here, and it's nice to be on time. If everyone recalls, everyone who's here with us live, or even those of you listening in audio form, you still might recall from last week, that I said I did not know if I would for sure be here for the show or if we would start on time because I was traveling home from a few days away with the family. And guess what? I made it home in time and didn't even have to rush to get set up and everything. Although I do have to admit, my routine's off. I was like, okay, when do I hit to start the show again and everything? I'm hoping I don't mess up stuff too much just because that's what happens when you're away for a little while. Go ahead, Rich. You can say it.
All right. Kathy Ford says, big bro, it's summer. You in Alaska are just good AC.
That's because you're wearing a sweatshirt. All right.
Yes, I'm wearing my Steelers hoodie. Mm-hmm. Let me just say this. Here in the mountains of Western Maryland, I believe we hit the coolest 70 degrees I ever felt today. Actually, on my drive home from work, I have the top off of the Jeep now, but actually had to close up my windows because it was chilly. It was 70 degrees, but the relative humidity is like in the 30s. So it actually was very cool. That, and yes, I have good AC in the house as well. So throw those and I'm in the basement.
Yeah.
Throw that all together. And I was like, and my sweatshirt was sitting there. So instead of digging around for another shirt, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw the sweatshirt on tonight. So,
yeah. Well, this afternoon, I was in Williamsburg, Virginia, your old stomping grounds. Yep. And it was not ridiculously uncomfortably hot. There was a nice breeze. It was, I would say, mostly cloudy. I felt like it was just a nice day that wasn't just overwhelmingly crushing of the humidity and everything like that. So
Still Dog 88 says Northeast PA hitting low 40s tonight. Got my hoodie on. Hey, Steel Dog. We are headed to those same low 40s here in Western Maryland in the mountains tonight. 42 is to be our low tonight. So,
I love it. And you know what? What do we want to do? What do you do as family? You sit around, talk about the weather, and you talk about the Steelers. That's our family. That's what we do. Go for it.
But you know what this nice cool weather makes me think of?
Football. Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's why I love the fall so much. I mean, it's just all of it, especially when I was coaching football. Those Friday night games, you know, you got to make sure, you know, sometimes I'd still be coaching in shorts, but when it gets cool enough that you have to bundle up a little bit on the sidelines, you hit that on a Friday night, you just have nice cool weather to do stuff with the leaves changing. And then you got Steelers football on Sunday. That used to be my fall years ago. Now I don't. Now if I want the Friday night football, I just go check out the various high school games around. But I love that time of year. And it's not just because of the Steelers, but boy, does that add to it, doesn't it? I would much rather go to a game in December or January than the first couple weeks of September. That's me. I like the cold weather and everything else, but any Steelers game is a good game.
I'm going to a game the first couple of weeks of September. However, it will not be ridiculous and brutal because that game would be an 8:30 start.
Yes. That's, yeah. Honestly, those are kind of nice that time. And honestly, the preseason games, with the preseason games being in the evening, those are nice.
Those are not bad.
So, and I'm pretty sure the Steelers, the home preseason game against the Bills, I'm pretty sure that is that a 7:30 kickoff, I think? 7:30, somewhere around there?
7 or 7:30. I don't know. Yeah. I'll be going to that one too.
Yeah, those are nice. Those are nice. But Rich, the Steelers, they made some tweaks to the roster. I'll be honest with you, because I've been out of town, I got the alert. I tipped Jeff Hartman off to it. He wrote the article. I don't know a bunch about the two players that the Steelers brought in, and I know a little bit about the one that they released. Remember, that was the one that Andrew Wilbar said was going to push Miles Boykin for playing time, and he lasted a few days. We love you, Andrew. He's like, why? Because I said, sometimes you only need a couple days to know. Sometimes that's all it takes. But the Steelers added two players. They added a running back and an offensive lineman, if I recall correctly. But I will say I don't know too much about it. I do know the offensive lineman does have ties to Philadelphia again. It's another one of those. But other than that, the Steelers are rolling through OTAs. And this is the last week of OTAs. They have not announced yet that if they're doing what some do, and they did last year with canceling mandatory minicamp. I'm pretty sure it was the Jets have already canceled their mandatory minicamp because they got all their stuff in, and they start back to training camp a week before everyone because they play in the Hall of Fame game. So that kind of made sense for them to do it. I don't know what the Steelers are going to do this year. We'll just have to wait and see. Anything else you want to say about the moves that the Steelers made or anything? They're full. They're 90-man roster. They're finally up to 90.
No, nothing really to add.
You want to get into this topic, don't you?
Pretty soon. I don't want to wait forever here.
Oh, no. I mean, we're into this. We got to get going with this topic. You want to dive into this topic because, full disclosure, this was you. I said, yes. Rich, what do you want to do for this show? Because I want you to – I want it to be really about what you want to do in case I'm not there. The last thing I want to do is say, hey, Rich, let's talk about this. Oh, wait, I'm not going to be there. You talk about it. So, and you wouldn't have been by yourself. We would have had an honorary Scobro of one sort or the other that would have been here for me. But I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I can spend our family time together. But we're going to talk about, we're doing a top five list. We love to do these this time of year. Don't know that we'll do them every week, but this, we're going to go ahead and start one off.
Yeah, they're kind of what we do when we're in here and nothing's really up for any better of a topic. We go into our top five lists. Mm-hmm. They can be a lot of fun. So I came up with this one. So tonight we're going to be talking about the top five surprises of the Steelers offseason so far.
So far.
Put it in that so far because, you know, there could be more surprises coming. We can only talk about what is going on up until this point. So, so far, the top five surprises of the Steelers offseason.
Now, remember, for the last two seasons, the Steelers have made what I would call a significant free agent signing after minicamp. Now, they were out of necessity because they lost a player during or after minicamp. 2 years ago, it was David DeCastro. They signed Trey Turner. Yes, it was 1 year. Yeah, it wasn't that great of a fit. He started, I'm pretty sure it was every game or almost every game. I'm pretty sure it was every game, but maybe I'm wrong. So he was a significant signing because of how much he played. Right. But that also wasn't enough that the Steelers wanted to bring him back for another season. Last year, it was after the retirement of Stephon Tuitt, the Steelers signed Larry Ogunjobi, who re-signed with the Steelers this year on a three-year deal. And he was not happy with his 2022. When you hear him talk from OTAs, if you hear any sound bites, I haven't heard them. I've read them. That he was not very satisfied with his 2022, dealt with a lot of injury and things of that nature. So I like hearing that someone's like, hey, I signed to go again. They're happy with me, but I can give more to this team. That's always something that or almost always something you really would like to hear. So we obviously, if Omar Khan pulls out something else and we get another big significant move later, maybe we get something that moves to the top of the list. That would be pretty cool.
Yep.
So, but let's go to dive in. We're going to count down from 5 to 1. I did my list. You did your list. We don't share. I had an honorable mention because I thought of 6 different things.
I have an honorable mention as well.
But we're not going to mention our honorable mentions unless they happen to be something that the other one has on their list.
Correct.
So we didn't really discuss this a ton to make any kind of criteria other than it was a surprise of the offseason. So we didn't, it could be a good surprise. It could be a bad surprise. I don't know about you. All mine are good surprises.
All mine are not.
Oh, that's good. Oh, good, 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 good. We got something different. We got something different. I love it. So Rich, do you want to start us off with your number 5?
My number 5. The trade with the Rams for Allen Robinson II.
Oh, I didn't even think about that one. That's a good one. That's a
because
great
it
one.
Was not just a veteran receiver. The Steelers made a trade for the veteran receiver. That to me was a surprise.
You know what? I can't believe I didn't think of that one. I can't believe I didn't think of it. That's a good one. That's a good one to have on the list. Kudos to you for thinking of that one, because some people are like, oh, he didn't have a very good year last year. But they're the same people that were also clamoring the Steelers really need a veteran in that locker room. So that's what they're doing. Now, Allen Robinson, if he doesn't put up a ton of numbers, the way the Steelers worked the deal, the trade, and the deal makes it to where, hey, no harm, no foul. The least he can do is bring leadership.
I was going to say, for all we're giving up, if all he gives is a good veteran presence and mentorship to the young receivers, I think it's worth what they did in the trade.
Yeah.
So,
And I mean,
but it was a trade. To me, that was the surprise.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. For at least the first several games of the season, teams are going to have to pay attention to him simply on reputation alone. Yes. So, and then you see how it works from there. I that's what I'm really hopeful for. If not, I think the Steelers, if Robinson isn't as much in the receiving game as what fans have hoped, it might be because somebody else is really stepping up, which to me, how are you going to complain about that? You know, you'd rather have too many good players. Rich, that is a fantastic one. I really like that because I didn't think of it. All right. So you ready for my number 5?
Let it rip.
This might be higher on your list, but I like the other ones that I had here. That the Pittsburgh Steelers traded up in the first round of the NFL draft, and it only cost them a 4th-round pick. That they were able to trade up to make sure they got someone, and they only had to give up a 4th-round pick to do it. That was surprising, because I didn't know that they would trade up, because I didn't think they'd want to give up much, but just the fact that they could do it, and that's all it cost. That was a big surprise for me.
Okay.
So, didn't know if there's anything you want to say on that, or if you'll talk about it later.
No, I might talk about it later.
All right.
We'll see.
So I didn't even break into anything with the player himself, which is part of the reason they needed to trade up, because if you wanted a tackle in the first round, they needed to make that move. Even though all the stuff that the Jets have put out, the Steelers made the wise decision. They knew that was someone that was on the radar, and if you wanted to get him, go get him.
Well,
so
if the Jets weren't going to take him and do what they did anyway, then that's why they're the Jets.
That's why they're the Jets. So if the Steelers would have traded and still would have got him at 17, then the people in between weren't doing what they needed to do. So there we go. We got 2 different ones at least to start. All right, Rich, what do you got for number 4?
Number 4. The departure of Terrell Edmonds not being re-signed by the Steelers to go to the Eagles and play for peanuts.
That is another good one, but I was thinking of everything from the positive standpoint. If I was going to have a negative one, That would be it. I actually wrote about this recently in my series of articles at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Yes, that website still exists, where I'm explaining various things from the NFL. I know these articles, it's not like everyone's busting down the door to read them. Some people are like, I understand what that is. That's great. Some people are like, I don't want to have to dive and get into too much of the nerdy stuff. That's okay too. But for the people that it's useful for, I'm glad that they're taking the time to do these things. And what I was talking about, where I mentioned Terrell Edmunds, was the veteran salary benefit contracts, which the Steelers have a bunch of them every year of people that are signing the common type. But last year, Terrell Edmunds signed the one that you can only have a max of two, and they have to share the benefit. Well, last year, Edmunds was the only one. He got the entire benefit. The Steelers gave some of that benefit this year to give a contract like that to Zach Gentry, but it was hardly any of it. It was only like $167,500, if I remember the number from my head, out of $1.35 million. So the Steelers could have paid Terrell Edmunds basically what he got paid last year again, because that difference that they gave this Gentry, really, you know, Edmunds' base salary from last year to this year would have gone up around the same amount. I'm this is going off the back of my head. I'm not exactly sure what that number is. I don't have it in front of me, but it would have been almost the same amount. And last year he got paid about $2.5 million. He only counted 1.3 against the cap. The Steelers could have paid him that much again. Instead, he went with the $2 million deal from Philly, and that's assuming that he plays every game.
Yep.
Because he's got a per-game bonus. He only played 15 games out of the 17 last year. So his there's another part from the series that I did. His likely-to-be-earned portion of that is only 15 of it, or 16 out of 18, I guess is the best way to say it, because you know, because it's per game, it's not per week, like a paycheck. Sorry, 15 out of 17. The Steelers could have had him back. And we talked about this, about how if the Steelers really wanted, if Terrell Edmunds was that important to what they needed to do on defense, then they could have ponied up that money for Terrell Edmunds.
Yes.
They just didn't want to give him enough or want him on the team bad enough, in my opinion.
Yeah. But that was a surprise.
That was a surprise.
That was a surprise.
That was a surprise. That was a surprise. So that I'll go with you on that one. I'll go with my number four. And I hated to do it back to back, but I had to. I'm going back to the draft. Not only was I surprised that the Steelers were able to draft Darnell Washington in the third round, they did so after trading back, gaining back a fourth round pick, and still got him. That was a huge surprise. I mean, that's a guy, Jeremy Betts had me convinced that that was a guy that was in play at 32. I mean, seriously. And they got him in the third round after trading back. That was a huge surprise for me.
Yeah. Totally get and understand that surprise as well.
Okay.
Nothing more I want to say about that one either.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Let's go ahead and roll and do both of our number threes. Okay. But we can do both of them before the break. So what'd you have for number three?
P squared.
Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson. The signing of Patrick Peterson after the departure of Cameron Sutton. I wasn't surprised that the Steelers made a move. I thought it was interesting that they are able to get and bring in Patrick Peterson, who just from day one seemed absolutely thrilled to be signed as a Steeler.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there'll be more on that later. So I'll go on to my number three. On to my number three. You ready?
Yes.
My number three was that the Steelers, after free agency was slowing down a little bit, after they had already added Nate Herbig, that they added the number one guard in free agency and Isaac Seumalo. Did I say that right? I'm going to mess up his name a bunch of times. That was a huge signing. After they already brought in another guard, they were like, oh, there's the competition. This is going to be great. And guess what? They weren't done. They went and got the biggest fish they could find at the position. So to double dip at guard like that, that was a huge surprise. After they had all, it seemed like they'd already made their move, and then they made that one.
Yes, I would also agree that that is a surprise, and more on that later.
We'll probably get to both of those requests. We're going to go ahead and take a break because we want to make sure we have it and hope this discussion just continues to roll on. So if you're with us here on Twitter, on Facebook, on my dryer buzzing in the background, if you heard that, or here on YouTube, we'll be back in a couple seconds. If you're with us on the audio side, stick around. We'll be back after these messages. All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, we are back. It is Tuesday night. It is the Scobro Show. We are doing a top five list. It seems like it's natural. This is where we should be right now. You having fun yet, bro?
Yeah. Oh, you know me. When we do our top five list, these are some of my favorite shows that we do because having fun not having to narrow it down to just one or two things, just being able to go. And I also have fun trying to see where we match up and where we differ.
Yes. Yes.
I'm surprised neither one of us hit the other's honorable mention as of yet. So
no, I bet you we don't. I bet you we don't.
I bet you we don't. And if we don't and we have the time, we may have to jump back in and mention them real quick.
Yep. We'll do that at the end if we're able to do that. So let's do a quick recap. So far, 5-4-3. Your 5-4-3 goes the trade for Allen Robinson at 5, the departure of Terrell Edmonds at 4, the signing of Patrick Peterson at 3. Mine goes... There we go again, and I'm done. I told my wife not to do that. That's okay. Number five, for me, trading up in the first round for only a fourth-round pick. Number four was getting Darnell Washington in the third round after still trading back. And number three was the signing of Seumalo even after they had already added another guard. So that's our 5-4-3 so far. Rich, are you ready to roll on to number two?
Rolling on to number two. Good.
Okay.
All right. My number two would be the free agent signing of Isaac Seumalo.
Yeah. So, all right. So there was more on that again.
Right? I said there would be more on that. Yeah. And really, for me, I mean, I was like you. That was a steal. I mean, you look at it, he was probably the top guard available in free agency.
Absolutely. And
again, like you said, we thought the Steelers said, oh, they at least made a little bit of a move here, brought in some competition, blah, blah, blah. This move then was more than bringing in just for some competition. This guy's brought in and expected to win a spot.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, your clothes are dry.
I think so. my goodness. You know what? It's towels out from the water park. That's what it is. Got to get my Steelers towel dry so that way I can have it all the time. And that is not my terrible towel, Steelers towel. That doesn't get used as a towel. That's not a beach towel. That's a terrible towel for someone of my size. I need a terrible towel that big. Yes. So that does not get used as a towel. It is strictly a terrible towel. I have another Steelers beach towel that I had to get dry. But it'll buzz one more time, I'm sure, because I was told it wouldn't buzz at all. But that happened. So, at least it's not my air conditioning going off all the time, which has happened in the past. So, you ready for my number two?
Yes.
Number two? All right. My number two is the Steelers' free agent signing of Patrick Peterson immediately following the departure of Cam Sutton. I was torn which one to go two and which one to go three. And I wrote this one.
And the reason I went with Seumalo at two is just because he was the top free agent at the guard position. in my opinion. Yeah. So I just thought that he was a bigger steal.
And it when was that? That was at least a week later, wasn't it? Maybe I'm just not remembering correctly. It wasn't early in free agency. And usually the biggest ones are early.
Right.
So that was one that I thought was a really great signing, but I couldn't decide which one to go with first. But to me, the reason I put the Peterson signing ahead, and I was thinking about switching, but when you said that, I'm like, I don't want to give him the same number. The reason I had the Peterson signing ahead is because it was the combination of the departure of Cam Sutton.
Yes.
And the signing of Peterson, like within hours.
Hours of each other.
Hours of each other. So,
understand that. Because it was first the letdown of, oh, Cameron Sutton's gone, to Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. And you just say this. If you go out and ask any random NFL fan, that's enough of an NFL fan that they know the significant players, and you say Patrick Peterson versus Cam Sutton, they're going to say Patrick Peterson he has a very decorated career. Yes. Now, the difference is Sutton is potentially and most likely, and for his sake, hopefully, even though it's not with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's still on the rise. Peterson knows he's in the twilight of his career. He knows he's approaching the end, but he feels like his game has not dropped off at all. I don't see the evidence of that dropping off at all. But then again, I didn't see much evidence of Joe Hayden's game dropping off at all until it did. You know, that's the nature of the position. But I also like that from the standpoint of, you knew the Steelers were likely going to draft a corner in a significant spot in the NFL draft. Now you've got a guy that is more than just a player on your team out there filling the role that hopefully can do about the equivalent, you know, this season. Jeffrey Benedict talked about it. About for this season alone, Cam Sutton and Patrick Peterson might be very equivalent players. The question is beyond 2023, you expect Peterson to be going one way while Sutton's going the other. So I completely get that. But Patrick Peterson and what he does and how he breaks down the game and how he's willing to pass that on to other players – You got a great free agent signing and another coach in the locker room, in the position room, on the field, someone that not only that, the Steelers then double dip at the position for the draft. And they have this player that can come around and help out more than, I don't know if there's anyone at the position in the NFL right now that could do that better than Patrick Peterson.
Right.
That could mentor someone in that way. From everything that I've heard about him from others outside of the Steelers and from what I've heard him say and everything since joining the Steelers.
And he's still at a point, to me, Patrick Peterson, he's still at a point in his career where he cannot just – tell these kids this. Yeah, I say kids, the young guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's still able to do it himself. So yes. It's a, hey, you need to do this. And then three plays later, he does exactly that.
Yes.
You know, and that can be tremendously impactful when you're mentoring young guys, is to be able to see somebody that's not just saying, oh, hey, you should do this. Why don't you do this? But can actually still do it themselves.
I mean, and he's got no problem training his eventual replacement because he knows he's only got so much time left. So much so, he's anticipating moving to safety to finish out his career, perhaps. He made mention of that. That makes for a great mentor and role model when the leader in that room is willing to play any position or whatever he can to help the team. At least that's everything that he said between when he joined the Steelers or his podcast with his cousin. I really like this one too.
Yep.
And the reason he's number two for me more than the Sam Alu, which is one, I thought maybe I had too much of an offensive line bias. And two, Sam Alu, I haven't heard him talk yet. Patrick Peterson, you hear him talk. So that's just another that's audio bias, I guess I should say.
That's because Sam Alu, he doesn't talk. He does all his talking on the field.
Yes. See, which to me, I'm not saying that he doesn't talk. I'm just saying I haven't specifically really heard him. That sounds to me an awful lot like a David DeCastro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not saying that he's not going to talk to the media or things like that, but he doesn't go looking for those flashy sound bites and searching things out. He's just going to kind of do his thing. And I think because of that, the media doesn't flock to him because he doesn't give them those great quotes, kind of like DeCastro. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, you know, just watch me on the field.
Yeah.
And then just
Rich, this has got me all amped up again for the season coming up because of these things. I'm like, wow, Allen Robinson, the trades and the stuff they did in the draft, Sayu Mala, Patrick Peterson. This is exciting stuff. It really is. I mean, I know a lot of it's that killer P word in potential, but when you have these unknowns, and what are your main unknowns going into a season? Most of the time, it's your rookies and it's your free agent signings. They're unknowns because you don't know how they're going to fit together. So because they're unknown, I'm getting really optimistic with it, and it's some really great stuff. So let's top this off. Rich, what's your number one?
All right, my number one, I'm going to actually say it. I'm going to talk more about it, but I'm going to actually say it in just three words.
Okay.
My number one surprise of the Steelers offseason, the con man. Go ahead. Omar Khan and what he has pulled off free agency, but more importantly, what he pulled off in the first draft I don't want to say his first draft, but the first draft he was kind of in charge of was
his first draft as general manager. He wasn't hired as general manager until after the draft last year. So, correct. Yes.
His first draft as general manager is gobbled up by some of the stuff you talked about. He traded up a couple spots, gave up a fourth, to go ahead and make sure he got the guy we were looking to get. Done. Check. Okay. Then you turn around and then think, still able to get Joey Porter Jr. at 32. Check. Right? Next pick in the second round. Draft capital, a little help there on the defensive line that we've been talking about maybe needing in the draft. Check.
Yep.
Oh, let's move on to the third round. Let's trade back. And at first I'm thinking, okay, not a bad move. Trade back, pick up that fourth that you traded in the first, right? Pretty much. Why not? Now you got some of that back. Okay, good move. Then to top it off, holy cow, still got the guy we would have taken before we traded back? Check. Get that extra pick in the fourth. Check, right? Pull off I'm going to kind of call it a steal. You know, you could call
round
it
seven.
Yeah. Cause it wasn't, that wasn't a flyer. That was still a value pick in round seven with the guy that so far through OTAs has really shown a lot and has guys on the team talking. And that's Corey Trice. Check. It's like, you know, we call him the con man. We'll see how the season plays out. If the season plays out by this time next year, his nickname might not be the con man. Might be Midas.
Yeah. Everything's gold. Everything he touches turns to gold. Yeah. We got to see how it plays out. We really do.
Got to see how it plays out. But so far, thrilled with what I've been seeing from Omar Khan.
Yeah.
There was a lot of worry when we took him on as GM. people, you know, there were some folks out there that said, oh, there goes the Steelers, you know, doing from within. They always do this, and it's just the same old, and everything like that. From day one after he took over, it was not the same old. Mm-hmm. So, so that's the wrong one. Cool to see.
I'll come back to that one. But Kathy Ford says King Khan.
Yeah.
You go. And I also steal on Gideon says, got to give some credit to Andy Weidel as well. Yes. Just actually, so to me, that's also Khan. That's forming the right team.
Correct. Andy Weidel actually would have been my honorable mention number two.
Yeah. Okay.
Here. Okay. Yeah. Would have been my second honorable mention for the Steelers to get him and his knowledge and, which at times has been very evident.
Yeah.
That he does have a voice in the room, and a respected voice in the room. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to your number one.
Well, hold on. I got several comments to make on your stuff here. First of all, let's go Andy Weidel.
Okay.
If everything plays out this year on a high note for the moves that the Steelers made, that's going to make this next statement even more likely, is that the Steelers have done such a good job. This might be Andy Weidel's last season with the Steelers. Unfortunately. Now, granted, he's coming home. He's a Western PA guy. Maybe he has no interest in going anywhere. Maybe he stays like Khan stayed. But if everything turns out like we think it could, and if it does and goes even better, that's just going to put everything with the Steelers on the radar more, which Andy Weidel should be. He should be getting interviews for GM job next year, regardless. He might not want them. It might have to. I mean, Khan got interviews year after year, but nothing ever. You don't know if it was them or if it was that he really wasn't interested in going. But then back to Omar Khan and his hiring, the Steelers lulled us to sleep with that one because so many people assumed it was going to be Khan. Then next thing you know, it's you know, if they're going in-house, you got Brandon Hunt's name in there. And then I started to get convinced that maybe he was the guy. Maybe they haven't been grooming Khan all this time. Then they have all these interviews. Then I hear all these other names. I'm getting these other candidates and everything in there. I'm writing articles every time these things are announced between Jeff and myself. We're writing them. And I'm like, it's kind of like the selection of Kenny Pickett last year. There was the familiarity. There, I got it out right. Because of being in the building, that was the choice all along, and they didn't have to show their hand.
They didn't have to show their hand. But at the same time, I couldn't fault the Steelers because the one thing they did in that GM search that sometimes they get accused of not doing was that they did their due diligence.
Yeah.
They interviewed a lot of different people. And I think it was just hey, we think it's Omar Khan, but we go ahead and we interview people anyway. I mean, the same way where, you know, everybody said years ago, oh, it's going to be Russ Grimm or Ken Wisenhunt. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Russ Grimm or Ken Wisenhunt. Guess what? It wasn't Russ Grimm or Ken Wisenhunt.
Because of the due diligence, yeah.
Because of the due diligence that the Steelers did and they decided to go elsewhere.
Yeah, and some people are like, oh, well, they shouldn't. No, I mean, Russ Grimm was never even a coordinator then in the NFL, and Wisenhunt hasn't had the most success. Well, let's just say this: longevity. That's what I should say. Longevity at the highest level, meaning head coach.
Right.
All right, let me get to my number one. And my number one is this: you said about the con man and everything there. That basically sums up everything on all our lists. It really does. It's the ultimate summation.
It does in some ways. But again, it was the surprise.
I'm not saying you did something wrong.
It was the huge surprise.
Yeah. I could have done this because, you talked about the con man and you said through free agency and the draft and you listed off the draft stuff. That's what I did. But rather than break it down, I broke it down to three different draft things. That was right. the big surprise for me.
I considered doing that at first, but I'm like, I don't want to chew it all up in the draft. Really, that's all about Khan.
I did. But no, but not all of this was about Khan. The one that I had that was a big surprise wasn't about Khan. And it's this. Because Khan had no bearing on this, and I don't think he was banking on this, but the number one surprise for me this offseason is that Joey Porter Jr. was available at 32.
Yes.
That was a shock. I thought for sure if he was on the board, he was the pick at 17. Now, when the Steelers traded up, I knew it wasn't going to be for him because I felt they could have stayed where they were and had Joey Porter Jr. at 17. I mean, my goodness. A lot of the very small wagers I made on DraftKings about the draft were all about Joey Porter Jr. I had him with the under for being selected at 20.5. I had various different other things. I had the Steelers drafting a cornerback in the first round. I took a small wager on that. There are no games. I hadn't had anything to throw a dollar here and there at for a long time. So I did it during the draft. And almost all of it was based on I was convinced that the insiders, I know people like to say, Jer Bear, our guy, Jerry Dulock. He said that hey, if I'm pretty sure it was him, because I was going with the same source for Tuesday. You know, maybe it was Dale Lawley. I can't remember. It was either one of those two guys, but it was the same person that said it for 2 years in a row, that it was, if he's there at 17, the Steelers are taking Joey Porter Jr. I don't think that was a wrong that was a wrong prediction because the Steelers didn't pick at 17. But the year before, way early in the process, and this was early in the process with Joey Porter Jr., way early in the process last year, there was a report, if Kenny Pickett's there at 20, the Steelers are taking him. And then we forgot about that for a long time, and then the Steelers did. Yeah. So I was shocked that when the Steelers traded up for Broderick Jones, I said, well, you won't have Joey Porter Jr. And that's why when the Steelers had pick 32 and they had all that time to take, I'm like, you've got to get a huge haul. Because if not, you have the opportunity to draft your likely pick at 17. At pick number 32, you make the friggin' pick. Make the pick. Do it. And they did. And I've gone on a long rant about this, so you can then comment if you want to say anything more specific about that pick at 32.
That was an easy pick to make. Oh, it sure was. And there were people that kept saying, trade the pick. If you get this, trade the pick. And I was like, I'd want more than that. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because you have to put the value in on the player versus what you get in return.
Yeah.
And to me, the value of Joey Porter Jr. at pick 32 was more than what the reports had were being offered to the Steelers to trade that pick. So there I felt Omar Khan made the right decision in saying, no, we'll just stay put and take our guy.
Yeah. I was running late for Friday night of the draft. I was coming back from my son's doctor's appointment and got stuck. It was pouring rain and there was an accident. I got held up almost an hour. I got in 5 minutes before the Steelers were on the clock. So I'm scrambling. I jump into our Zoom call and everyone's like, oh, trade the pick. I'm like, no, don't trade it. And they're like, why? I said, unless you get something that's outlandish that you never thought you'd get, like the number 32 pick for Chase Claypool in the first place. Unless you get something outlandish, you have to ask yourself, is the player that I get instead and the player I would get at a later pick going to end up combined being better than what I believe Joey Porter Jr. will be? You have to put it in perspective of the players. And you know if you'd have picked up a fourth-round pick or a third-round pick. I'm so glad they didn't do it for a pick next year. That if you – any of those, you have to say it's still kind of – kind of a crapshoot, kind of not exactly sure if it would or not when you get to that point of the draft. And to me, if it's a guy that you were willing to take at 17 and he's there at 32, why are you even considering it? So we've gone on about this for a while. And I'll say this again because you mentioned Corey Trice. Yeah. I still think Corey Trice was the player that the Steelers – this is just my own opinion. I have nothing inside or anything to back this up, and I've said it before, but I'm just going to reiterate it. I still think he was the player that they had in mind in round four if the board didn't fall right for them to get a cornerback by that point.
Very. If
the Steelers did not get Joey Porter Jr. in round two, didn't take another cornerback, and they're sitting there in four, I think Corey Trice Jr. would have been their pick at four. But then they were like, we have a cornerback. We have a cornerback. But then when you get to seven and the dude is still there, I don't think they were planning on double dipping at corner. Maybe they were. I don't know that they were. But you don't pass that up. And right now you're seeing why.
They probably weren't expecting to be able to do what they ended up doing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still in shock over how this draft worked out for the Steelers. It was, again, was it that Midas touch of Omar Khan? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But just everything just seemed to go their way.
Yeah. And there's some discussion going in the live chat right now about Christian Gonzalez, because the Steelers, that's who was drafted in what was the 17th spot. It was a big surprise that he was still going to be there. I thought he was even at first, I thought that's why the Steelers traded up. And initially I'm like, it's not that I thought, is it for corner or for tackle? And it took me all of about 5 seconds to realize, wait, there were other corners available.
Gonzalez and Porter both there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it was for the tackle because it was the tackle. But then the reports came out and they might have been, out there hush, hush, quiet, but they came out even more loudly after the first round of the draft that something in Gonzalez's visit to Pittsburgh didn't jive right and that the Steelers weren't going to take him. I don't know what. I don't know why.
Brian Brown says it went as well as the Scobros mock draft, to which I only have one thing to say. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Road Trip Radio on my Sirius XM earlier this evening, mm-hmm. eating dinner, and I had to crank it up and sing it. I had to crank it up at dinner and sing to Kyle.
Okay.
There's only one way to mock.
There's only one way to mock. Well, we did our mock, and honestly, a lot of people looked at it. I'd say ours. It was the live chats, and you all were a big part of that too. We did that mock, and we're like, oh man, if the Steelers got this draft, that would be crazy. This is way too good for what they're going to get. You want to know the truth, bro?
It was what they got.
It was better. It really was. I'm trying to see if I can find. Oh, it was on my birthday that we did it. So I'm going back because I'm trying to remember. I don't think the only people we got right we got right about double dipping a corner. But the only player we got right was Joey Porter, and that wasn't even the right, and that was in the correct spot. But our number 32 of the offensive tackle of Darnell Wright, he went, was it 10 or 12? He went to Chicago. Or did Chicago trade back a spot? It's all getting foggy now. But you look at that draft, and we thought we did great with who we got at what stage. I mean, my goodness, we took the tight end from Penn State as the last pick. Didn't he go in like the third or fourth round? Something crazy. But some of these players, I don't even know what team they're with right now because they're not wearing black and gold. But we thought at the time that our mock was too good to be true. Boy, were we wrong. Steelers did even better. They did even better. Even better. All right, Rich. We're really running late tonight. But you ready to run into – what was your honorable mention?
Oh.
Real quick.
My honorable mention for a surprise for the Steelers was the re-signing of Mason Rudolph.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Because, you could have even just said the quarterback signings. The fact that they re-signed Rudolph and they extended Trubisky. That was pretty surprising. I didn't even think about adding that one. Mine was the Steelers completely overhauling the linebacker room with two free agents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually,
that was my honorable mention. That I thought that was pretty good. So our big question tonight, we don't have to answer it because we already gave our number ones. We want to know from you right now, as I'm trying to type it in, what was your biggest surprise so far, right?
So far
this offseason. I almost got it in there for you all to answer. And I spelled surprise wrong. I forgot the R, but I already hit enter.
Surprise!
Hey, Uncle Witch! Surprise!
Okay, you say that. Give that a second to run. Most hilarious one. Alex was in like the fourth grade. So Kyle was in kindergarten or first grade. And Alex was talking about they were doing group work at school that day, and she was the person in her group who was in charge of supplies. I said, "Oh, I knew what you did." She's like, "What?" I said, "You ran over behind the door of the classroom, and when people came in, you jumped out and yelled, "Supplies!" And I don't think I'd ever seen Kyle laugh so hard.
Oh. There you go. I've heard that joke before. Now, I will say, I'm pretty sure that some of these were coming up because to not even answer the question yet, because we dumped this on you pretty fast. I think this is his answer. If not, Gabriel, give us another answer. That this wasn't you talking. That I assume you're answering the question. That no. Gabriel Golden has the quarterback room as the biggest surprise. Afton Ford says Mitch's extension. Okay. I don't know if this is the answer or not, but I'm going to bring it up because it came up there already. Sure, Josh Oshkabosh.
I don't think it was because he said also, so I think.
Okay. They were talking about different coaches, everything about a new linebacker.
The next one is definitely there.
Okay. Steel Dog 88. Yeah, that was this. He says the signing of Isaac. He was afraid to say Sayomalo. Is it Sayoma? Yeah. I know Sayomalo. Four different every vowel but an I is in his name. I just got to remember what order they're in.
S-E-U-M-A-L-O.
A-O, okay. I can't remember where I sometimes get the O and the U mixed up. And I know because of listening to Jim Wexel on the Steel City Insider podcast, which can be heard on the Steel Curtain Network Wednesdays at noon or anytime after, that he's like, with the Polynesian names, you pronounce every vowel. So they're easy to pronounce. So, yeah, there you go. Kathy Forid says our QB depth. Did she say that before? No, that was Afton. Carrie says quarterback room. Claude Bishop says definitely the biggest surprise was Mitch getting an extension. See, it all depends on your perspective, okay? Thomas Riley says the cornerback room. That's a good way
to put it. Which is a neat way of putting it because, you added three new faces into it.
Yeah, see, that's kind of like my top three things, and you sum them up all up in one big thing, which definitely made it number one. John Walter says Allen Robinson trade. That was a pretty big surprise. Jeremiah Yoder says Joey Porter Jr. Okay, probably getting him when they did is like the way we talked about. See, that doesn't count. Where are we going? Okay, we have Tyler W. says Darnell Washington in round three. Yeah, that was on my list. That was there. Afton says Sayomalo. I don't think that's her answer. That's the correct spelling for us. Let's see here. Brian Brown, I think this is his answer.
Don't skip Reginald.
Oh, Reginald says her big brothers. Oh, the her big brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I knew that's Brown, why you skipped it because you didn't understand what he was going for.
No, I knew he was saying to her, but I didn't know that was whatever. I thought maybe that was an answer to something else that was being discussed earlier. Brian Brown says no Highsmith signing yet. Remember, it would be an extension, not a signing. He still has a year left on his contract. That's not surprising to me.
No,
it's still really early. Yeah. Even if it happened in July, it would be really early.
Yep.
I'll get nervous. If the Steelers cut down to 53 and it hasn't happened yet.
Correct.
That, you know, but even think when TJ Watt signed his, that was already after the 53 had happened. So that's when I'll get nervous. I think it'll happen sooner than later. Patricia Castaneda says quarterback room. Cherry Richards says the re-signing of Larry O. That's another good one.
Good one.
That's another good one. I mean, there were so many good. how do we keep this to just five? And it just happened to be what we were thinking about at the time.
That was the fun of keeping it to five.
Yeah.
Then you had the ability to see some of these other things and be like, oh, yeah, good one.
Yep. Mr. Woodside says cornerback makeover. Let's see. Jennifer just says the number of new players signed, period. She put a period on the sentence, and I'm going to say the period because I think that's right. There we go. And honestly, I think everyone else is just having their conversations with each other, which is how we love it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, got one from Facebook. I think we both clicked at the same time. I think so. Rhino Blackbeard says how aggressive Khan was the entire season, meaning what we think the off season, his time to shine, right? Exactly. Yeah. So there we are. Rich, this was a great subject. I'm so glad you thought of it. I could just sit and brainstorm about it during my 3.5 hour drive, and it was great.
I sat on it, you know, on your question of what to do the rest of my afternoon at work, and I'm driving home, and it just hit me and was like, yes.
There you are. There you are. So make sure you're checking out all of our podcasts here at the Steel Curtain Network. I'm assuming everything's running on schedule. I'll get into that more tomorrow because, like I said, I got home, got things set up, started the show, been out of the loop for a couple of days. I will tell you this. I will not be on the week that was this weekend. I'm going to be away celebrating my 20th anniversary. Now, my anniversary is not till the end of the month, but that's right before we go on our family vacation. So we wanted to separate the two a little bit there, which is funny because then this other one that I came through got scheduled at the last minute. And that's only because we got a good deal. That's why we had to go when we did. So, but my wife is happy she took the whole week off of work that we'll be traveling this weekend. But other than that, I'll be back Thursday night with the Steelers preview. I'll have another Stat Geek Thursday morning. Rich and I will be back next Tuesday. Don't know if we'll have another top five list or not. I'll tell you, my Twitter is on the screen, STLR Superfan Dad. If you just add @gmail.com, anyone out there, if you have a specific top five list you would like us to do for a show, send it to us. Send it to us.
That's right.
Because if you do, and we have enough of them, that's just what we'll do. That's what we'll continue to do until we get into the Steelers reporting to Latrobe, which still hasn't been exactly announced the exact date yet. So
when they did it last year, didn't they cancel mandatory mini camp and then like the next day announce when
it was right around that time? I meant to go back and check that to know the exact day. So I'm ready to write, to have the article for Jeff Rye to write. So that's something I do want to look into, but yeah, what you're saying definitely sounds familiar, but hey, make sure you check out all the podcasts and of course behindthesteelcurtain.com. Cause yes, that website still exists. Rich, what do you want to say to close us out here tonight?
Oh, hey, you know what? Fun to be back in. The cool evening up here had me feeling football, thinking football, and now I got to be in here with everybody and talking football. I mean, does it just get much better than football? Yes, it does. It gets much better when it's Steeler football. And that's what we've been talking. I'm already starting to think about August when my wife and I will travel up for the preseason game against the Bills.
Become a tradition for you guys, hasn't it?
It has. That she prefers to go to a preseason game, and I'm cool with that. Also, had the men's basketball coach over at the college where I work. He was in to talk to me some this past week, and one of the first things he said that was not related to one of his basketball players was, are we still going to go to training camp this year? And I said, yes, we are. So that is in the works as well. You know,
I'm going to interrupt for a second.
Yes,
please. I will go to training camp if I can convince one Jefferson Bartholomew Hartman to go to training camp together. If he will go, then we'll go. So that's what I'm going to do.
Then you need to convince Brian Anthony Davis to go with you.
Oh, he won't be convincing. He won't.
Okay. And because he'll be like, oh, good. Then you guys can hit up the Beehive. So.
Right.
Which will lead me to another story that I may save until next week.
Okay.
Just saying. But hey, you know, it's fun to be thinking about the season already. You know, we were talking about these surprises of the offseason. The surprises of this offseason are so big, they've got me more excited to get things going for the season, which I think is going to be what helps carry me through this offseason part up to training camp when things get rolling. And you know what I think about training camp and everything getting rolling? I can't wait.
Can't wait.